break this week, and we're going to be in Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 31 through 35, and we'll be kind of hopping around a little bit. Mark chapter 3, verses 31 through 35 said this. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." And so, Lord, we thank you so much, God, for your word this morning. We ask that you would take all of our distractions, God, take all of the things that are on our heart, Father. We just surrender them to you, and we pray that you would help us to release those things to you, God. We pray that you would be in this time, God, that your Holy Spirit would be moving in and among us, Lord. I pray that you'd build up your people for your namesake, God, and that you would just be lifted up, God, in our lives. And so have your way in this time, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So in thinking about Mother's Day, I want to do something a little bit different. The text in 2 Timothy was a little tough, so we'll save it for next week. But wanted to look at Mark chapter 3 and just speaking about the family of God, right? And I love this section of Scripture because this is the scene kind of. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and his mom and his brothers are there outside like, "Hey, we want to talk to Jesus." And it's an interesting thing. It almost seems like Jesus is giving them the shaft, kind of like, "This is my true family. Like, I don't have time for them." But that's not what he's doing. He's basically saying that his deepest relationships are with his people, his disciples. And so it's an amazing thing. As we think about Mother's Day, I'm thankful for all of you ladies here that have raised your kids up, and you're, it's not easy, but we've been blessed as a church to see you pour out and minister. But also knowing that sometimes we come from tough family backgrounds. There might be some mothers who feel like, "Man, I don't feel like a good mom." Or, "I feel lonely." And this scripture is meant to encourage you, because Jesus, he sees you. He sees the family brokenness. And I love this because Jesus gives people a place in his family. Right? People that maybe don't come from the best background, don't have it all together. And this is what the gospel is, right? Jesus is saying, "Hey, you are my mother and my brother and my sisters." And the key there is in verse 34, he says, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." I want to focus on that phrase there in verse 35. What does it mean to do the will of God? Before we can do God's will, we have to know what God's will is. Some of you are on the verge of taking the next step in life. You're on the verge of graduating, or you're going to go back for the summer. You might be trying to get an internship. There might be some decisions that you need to make soon. And I want to talk about how to discover God's will. How do you find out God's will for your life? There's a parallel passage in Luke where it has Jesus talking about this very account. And he basically equates doing the will of God with hearing the word of God and doing it. And so we can, as we take these two passages together, we can say that to do the will of God means to do the word of God, to hear the word of God, but also to do it. In other words, we're to be obedient to God's word, Right? In the general sense, that's what it means to do the will of God. When we look at our decisions in life, though, we're like, well, how does that help me with making decisions? And I want to kind of get into that. I want to share with you some things that have helped me in making decisions in life and trying to figure out, God, is this something that you have? Is this not? The first thing that we want to do is to respond to the Word of God, right? Like we mentioned, we want to respond to the Word of God. A lot of people want to know the details of God's will, right? Who am I supposed to marry? How long am I going to be single? When should I take a new job? A lot of specifics when it comes to our life. But what I've noticed is that many times we're disregarding the clear commands of God in Scripture. So we want the details of God's will, but we don't want to be obedient to what He's already revealed in Scripture. And so in the Bible, there's clear-cut things that God has said, this is my will. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so God's will is that you would be thankful. In 1 Peter 2, verse 15, it says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. And so God's will is for us to walk in good works. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. And so God's will for you is that you would be holy and that you would be pure. And at this point, some of us are saying, well, what does that have to do with these big decisions in life that I have to make? It has everything to do with it. Because God oftentimes leads us as we heed His word, right? Just like we saw in Mark, those who are doing the will of God, those who are being obedient to God's word, God leads us through obedience. We're not saved by obedience, but God gives us clarity. He gives us insight as we seek to honor Him. Listen to what Proverbs 11, verse 3 says. It says, the integrity of the upright guides them. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. And so one of the ways we receive guidance from God is by walking in integrity. It might not seem super connected. You might say, well, what does this have to do with my life decisions? But you'd be surprised how much clarity God would give you. If there's an area in your life where you're walking in continual sin, it's going to be tough to figure out what God's will is. I don't know if you've experienced that, but sometimes it could seem clouded. God can still reveal His will. He can still allow you to walk in what He has. But you're going to be questioning. There'll be doubt. It'll be fuzzy. And when we walk in integrity, that allows God to lead us. That's one of the ways God leads us. Another way we discern the will of God is to seek God in prayer. We all know this. We say, hey, you got to pray about it. You got a big decision. You should pray. Of course, we're to pray to God. But when I talk to people who don't know God and I talk to believers, oftentimes it can sound similar. Like people are stressing out about these decisions and they're like, I have to figure it all out. What the gospel says is that because we have a Savior, because God loves us, it's not all on you. When you're thinking about these life decisions, it's not all on you. But oftentimes we function like functional atheists. We're like, we know there's God, but I need to worry and I need to try to stress out about what I should do. And God's saying, hey, cast your cares upon me. Cast your cares on me. We can't afford to see prayer just as a chore. Right? I know it's tough to pray sometimes, but we've got to allow the things that are inside of us, we've got to turn those things into prayer and say, God, like, I need you. Please show me what you want me to do. We have the ability to come to the throne of grace. Through the blood of Jesus, because of what Jesus has done, we've been given the privilege as God's children to approach the Father and say, Lord, I need you. Do you think God wants to answer that prayer when we're like, I need guidance? It's like, of course He does. He wants to show us the way. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember what he prayed? He's facing the cross and he's saying, Father, if it be your will, let this cup depart from me. The cup is signifying the wrath of God that he was about to experience for us. He's saying, if there's any other way for them to be forgiven than the cross, let's do that. But then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That's a very important prayer. Because there are things that we're going to want in life. There might be certain desires that we'll have. But in the end, we want to pray as Jesus prayed. We want to be able to surrender our will to God's will. And say, Lord, like, this is what I want. But if that's not your will, then let your will be done. And we have to understand that God's will is the best thing for us. We should always want God's will. That's why Jesus taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, let your will be done. And when our hearts echo that, we want the will of God, God's going to lead us. It's going to be so good. Some people say, if I surrender, what if God sends me out to the jungle to be a missionary? Like, he could do that, but you'd be stoked to go out there. If God is leading you to do something like that, if God is leading you to make a decision like that, if you're holding on to your own will because you're afraid, you have to know that God's will is the best way. And he'll give you grace to walk in what he has for you. Tim Keller says about prayer, God will either give us what we ask or give us what we would have asked if we knew everything he knows. God will either give us what we ask or give us what we would have asked if we knew everything he knows. And so we acknowledge the sovereignty of God as we pray. We're like, Lord, this is what I would love, but you know best. And so whatever you have, we're open to that. The result of prayer we see in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. As we're praying, as we're seeking God, Philippians 4, verse 7 says that the peace of God will guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. This is an amazing thing. That God promises us his peace as we seek him in prayer. The peace of God is a crucial part of discovering God's will. Colossians 3, verse 15 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And the language that he's using there is saying, basically, the peace of God is like the umpire. He's calling the shots in your life. Where there's no peace, when you're thinking about a certain decision and you're praying about it, and you're like, I don't have peace about this, that might be a sign that God's not leading you down that road. Because wherever God is leading you, he'll give you his peace. That's the amazing thing. Don't fight against the peace. Don't force it if you're not sensing God's peace. Isaiah 55 verse 12 says, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. So this is an amazing way. As we're praying through things, and if you're praying about something in particular, if you're not experiencing that peace, that might be God saying, hey, hold the brakes, pump the brakes. Don't force it. What happens when we feel like, man, God's not opening this door up for me, is oftentimes we'll try to force it, right? How many of you guys have made mistakes because instead of waiting on the Lord, you're like, I need to just make a way. I need to force it, this relationship, this thing. I need to force this thing to happen. And what happens when we do that is, it's a tough road, right? God disciplines us because God's wanting us to be in this place of waiting on the Lord. And for some of you, you're there right now. God's calling you to wait on him, but you're losing heart because you're like, I feel like nothing's happening. But I want you to know that as you're waiting on the Lord, the scripture promises that God is working. God is working behind the scenes, even in ways that we can't understand. And so this doesn't mean that we just sit around and do nothing, right? Wait on the Lord. We're actively waiting. We're seeking God's kingdom. We're getting in his word. We're gathering with his people. We're giving God the space to move, to open up the doors. This is a big thing for us, understanding that God can open doors for us. when we're praying, we want to pray. We see this throughout the scripture with the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8 and 9. He says this. He says, "But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." We see in other places where Paul says that there's a door that's open for the gospel to be preached. And so as we're praying, something we want to pray for is that God would open up the doors for us. God, I pray that you would open up the door that you want me to go through. We don't want to break down the door. We don't want to try to create a door. We want God to be the one who opens up the door. And so this is an interesting thing as Paul is speaking about there to the Corinthians. He's saying, God has opened up this door. It wasn't always open. There came a certain point where God saw fit to open it up. And so we need the Holy Spirit to help us see, Lord, what are the doors that you're opening? In light of our careers, in light of our ministries, in light of relationships, we want to go through the doors that God opens for us. It's interesting in that verse that we read that Paul says that there's a great and effective door that's open to me, but there are many adversaries. Just because God opens a door for you doesn't mean that the opportunity won't be met with opposition. And some of you might have experienced that where you're like, man, I thought God was opening up something here for me, but I'm feeling a lot of opposition. I'm feeling a lot of resistance. That's not always a sign that you're outside of God's will. That could be a sign that you're actually in the will of God. Just because there's opposition doesn't mean that the door's not open. And so when you have that, when you're sensing that, keep pressing into the Lord. The Lord is wanting you to seek him in that. Ministry, it can be tough. God's opened the door for you to minister, but there's opposition. He's saying, hey, keep going. There's going to be opposition. Any work that God is doing is going to experience opposition from the enemy. But it could be a sign that that's where God has you. And so if you're in that place this morning, I pray that the Lord would encourage you with this truth this morning. The last thing I want to look at in regards to discovering the will of God is to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. That's an amazing truth. He's called the Spirit of Truth, the Counselor. So you have God residing inside of you. So God wants to lead you by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." Everyone who's a child of God has a Spirit of God inside them. And so when I'm facing decisions sometimes, I'll think through this, right? Like I'm praying through it. I'm saying, what is God giving me in my spirit? Like, is this what that person spoke to me or what I'm reading in Scripture as I'm experiencing peace from God? Do I feel like God's leading me to make this decision? We have the inner witness of the Spirit. He wants to lead us into all truth, obviously with the Bible, but also in areas of life where we need counsel. There are other times where I'm seeking God about a certain decision, but I want some confirmation. I want to know, like, hey, like, because I've gotten it wrong before, right? Like, I don't know if you guys have done that. If you've read the Bible, if you've prayed about a decision, and you're like, I went forward in this, but I think I messed up somewhere. I got it wrong. It, obviously, God's not in the wrong. It's our, sometimes we don't get it right. And that's okay. There's going to be times like that. So sometimes I'll ask that God would give me a confirmation. And that can look like I'll be listening to a sermon. Someone approaches me and says, hey, I feel like God wants me to tell you something. And that's happened to me before where I'm like blown away. Some people aren't open to that, different views, but it's happened to me, man, where someone's given me a word. They don't know anything about my situation. And it's just the word I need to hear. And I'm like, wow, okay, I was reading the word. I felt like God was leading me to that, and this person just confirmed it. That's an amazing thing. And I think that's why it's important to be in community, right? As we're making decisions, we don't want to just do that by ourselves. Because the Holy Spirit is in the people of God. And so we want to get around people who know God and say, hey, like, what do you think about this? This is what I'm kind of wrestling with. Should I go here? Should I go here? And we can receive counsel from people in the church. As we're seeking to do God's will, there might be times where we feel like we're paralyzed with fear. We might feel like, I don't even want to make a decision because what if I mess up? And some of us become paralyzed with fear. I don't want us to overthink this, right? God's will. I think of in the garden when God created Adam and Eve. Remember what he told them? He said, hey, you can eat from any one of these trees. Just don't eat of this one. I do think that sometimes God will say, hey, like, you can have multiple options, right? That will be good, and this will be good. It's not always like, you have to do this one, right? I think God can give us multiple options. He knows what's going to bless us. I don't want us to be paralyzed by this. I don't want us to be stuck in fear. There's so many scriptures, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that talk about, as we're trusting in the Lord, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. And so we could trust, as we're trusting in God, as we're acknowledging him, we're not just trying to figure it out in our own heads. He's going to direct our paths. You might not always have the clear-cut answer, but you can trust, as you're seeking God's kingdom, he's going to lead you into what his will is. And many of you can look back and say, I didn't know what God was doing at the time, but I could see now that he was leading me. That's an amazing thing about the Lord. He desires to lead us. If we make a mistake, the Lord will be faithful to redirect us. In the book of Acts, we see that the Holy Spirit forbid Paul from preaching in certain places. One of them was Asia. He was wanting to take the gospel to Asia, and it says that the Holy Spirit forbid him. And we're like, what does that look like? I'm not sure if that was like circumstantial or if someone said, came to him and said, hey, I have a word from the Lord. Don't go to Asia. It's going to be bad. I don't know what that looks like. It doesn't describe it. But I love that because it shows us that God is faithful to redirect us even when we might not get it right. He has a good desire. He's wanting to bring the gospel, right? I thought Jesus said, go out and preach the world to all the nations. Yes. But Jesus is kind of saying, hey, this isn't the right time for this place. Go somewhere else. The Lord will be faithful to redirect us in the places we should go, in the relationships we should be in the details of our life. If God has taken it upon himself to accomplish our salvation, the salvation of our souls, we have to know that, okay, he cares about the small things. He cares about the details. He cares about the other things that are big to us. What am I going to study? Who am I going to marry? God cares about all those things. And oftentimes we think, okay, God will, obviously he loves me, he saved me, but will he really give me insight into these other things? And the answer is yes. The Lord desires that we would walk in his will. And so the best place to be is where we're surrendered, where we have surrendered our will to God's will. And as we do that, he starts giving us his desires. That's why the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. People oftentimes just take half the verse. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. Right? You've heard that before. No, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. He's not a genie in a bottle. As you're delighting in him, he's going to give you his desires, and you're going to reflect what the psalmist said, I delight to do your will, O God, and your laws within my heart. And so as we're seeking God in his word, as we're praying and seeking the Lord, as we're relying on the Holy Spirit to lead us, we can be confident that God is at work, that God is working, he's leading us in the right way, that the Lord is our shepherd. I want to close with Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. says this, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." That's my prayer for us, is that God would equip us with everything good that we can do his will. That he would work in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Amen.